You're listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. You can find notes for this message along with more information about our church by visiting church2911.com. Here's our lead pastor, Rick Hand, with this week's message.
Before we get into this week's message, I want to go to the end of Brent's message from last week and the baby step that he gave us. And it's from Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Let's read this together. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. What he's talking about is all the people out there that don't know Jesus. There are plenty of them out there. Amen? 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 Okay, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It's what Brent challenged us with, and this came from someone in his grow group, Bruce, in his grow group, is I want to ask you to do this. Grab your cell phone right now, if you will. Everybody, please, grab your cell phone and do this with me. Okay, Brent asked us to set a reminder. I actually set an alarm for every day at 10:02. Why 10:02? See 10:02 right there? At 10:02. To pray this prayer. So every day, so that's what we did last week. I'm going to ask you to do it again this week because some of you weren't here last week. I want you to be a part of it. But I also want to pray this even beyond because this is what this year is about, and we need to be praying this. So set that, if you will, a notification, an alarm. I've got an alarm. It just goes on. I've just left it on. So every day at 10:02, except on Sundays. And cool thing is this week, you know, I would be in the middle of something sometimes, so I couldn't get on my face before God, but I could stop right then and I could say a prayer. And how many of us, dozens of us, were praying the same prayer at the exact same time all week long? Let's do that again this week. And also, there were a couple of days that I was with somebody in a meeting or something, and guess what I got to do? Yeah, I got to pray, and I said, hey, pray with me about this and during this time. So an awesome opportunity. Let's do that this morning, okay, and do that. All right, so we got another baby step I'll share with you into this sermon, but let's get into the sermon. Today, this is the third week of Teach. Go Teach All is the sermon series. That's our theme for this year, and we're in Teach. We're wrapping up Teach today. And it's Teach What Jesus Said. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about, what do we teach? Teach everything. Everything that Jesus said, okay? And this is from Matthew 28:20. Jesus says, go into the world, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So what we're talking about today is it's important for us to share what Jesus taught, not our slant on it. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I got a little amen right there, right? You know, not our favorites and our pet peeves and those kinds of things. We'll get into that, okay? Because that's what we're talking about. And a lot of times we have some areas where it's just hard for us to share some of those things. Here's a big one. I think this is the big one right here. We often resist saying the hard things, right? Tim Keller said this. Here's a quote from him. If we're honest, we prefer Jesus as a consultant rather than king. Can I get a big ouch? Amen? I mean, really, come on. You wouldn't want to say that out loud. But in reality, the way we love our life a lot of times, we treat Jesus as a consultant. We don't want him to tell us all the things necessarily. And so what we do with that then is we kind of think, well, that's why we're a little afraid. Because we know if we're that way, we know that other people are that way. So it makes us kind of shy away from sharing the hard stuff. Brent mentioned and took us to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 a couple of weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, something like that, in a sermon. And he pointed out to us there in the verse, you see that teaching is paired with admonishment. You know what admonishment is? It's saying the hard things. You know, and they're compared because if you're just doing you're not doing any admonishment, you're not doing a lot of teaching. You know, so just like the quote that so many people have said now is Jesus loves you is not the gospel. It's part of it, but it's not the whole gospel. That's what we're talking about right here, okay? And then also we have in Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, is I think this is why some of us get a little worried about sharing the hard stuff, is we're afraid we're going to get like Paul because Paul's talking to the Galatians, and he says, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? That's what a lot of us are scared of. We're scared we're going to offend somebody. Back in the Old Testament, especially in the New King, in the King James, in the Old and New Testament, we would see things like, being puffed up. People would be puffed up. But we know today the word is offended, right? We don't want people, we got to be careful. We don't want people to get offended. Hey, listen, offense is a way of life. And some offense is a good thing. I mean, when you're doing the wrong thing, being offended is not necessarily a bad thing, you know? And so that's an okay thing, and we have to get used to that. Listen, I'm not saying for any of you to go home this afternoon, walk up and down your street, knock on people's doors, and start telling them what their sin is and how bad they're doing and how they're going to split hell wide open. That's not what I'm saying. But what we've got to be able to, we've got to be willing to share the hard stuff when it's time. And for a lot of people, that's once they get into church and into discipleship, and hard things have to be shared. But sometimes you get the opportunity where somebody just opens the door for you, and maybe they're asking you something. And here's what, you know, we got to quit doing this, okay? And I don't know if you're doing it, but I've had a lot of people that's told me they've done this. I remember one time a man actually said, I had to repent over this. Because he said someone shared something they were doing with me and they wanted my opinion. And instead of telling them what the Word of God said, I said, basically, it's going to be all right. And that's the way we want to. We got to get over that. If somebody opens the door, you've got to tell them what Jesus said. Because letting them continue to go down the path that they're going down is not sharing and helping them become everything God wants them to be. All right, let me give you a good example of how we might do that, because sometimes we share half scriptures, right? Y'all ever heard of the Beatitudes? Matthew chapter 5, how do they start? What is the first words there? Blessed are, okay, or blessed are, you know, if you're a true King James, you know, version person. Blessed are, you don't say blessed are. So blessed are, right? And here are the blessings. This is all of them. They're in the Beatitudes, that we receive heaven, we can be comforted, we inherit the earth, we be shown mercy, we will see God, we're called God's children, great is our reward in heaven. So those are the, and that's awesome, right? And that's the kind of stuff we like to share. But there's some hard stuff there too. Because in every one of those Beatitudes, there is a qualification. And here's the qualification. The humble are the ones that receive this. You know, the ones, not the ones who are narcissistic and all about themselves and, you know, and always have to have, you know, get the last word in, you know, and you can't treat me like that. You know, they got to defend themselves about everything. The humble, those who mourn and are merciful, those who actually mourn with other people, those who are merciful to other people, and the pure-hearted. What does that mean? This is the qualification, to have a pure heart, to be a peacemaker. The pure-hearted peacemakers who are insulted, persecuted, and have all kinds of evil said against them because they follow Jesus. That's the hard stuff. And we can't just preach the blessings. We got to share the hard stuff. Is when you follow Jesus, everybody's not going to like it. And so you're going to get talked about maybe behind your back or maybe made fun of. That's okay, because there's blessings because of that, because you're suffering for Jesus. We got to share the hard stuff as well, even though we shy away from it. On the other side of that, we don't like to share the hard stuff. We want to share our favorites, right? You got a favorite scripture? We want to share our favorites. You know, that's what we want to give to people. Let's go to that next slide, Philip. We like to share our favorites, but Philip, remember the story a couple of weeks ago brought to you about Philip and the Ethiopian? When he got the opportunity to lead the Ethiopian to Jesus Christ, he didn't talk about his favorite scriptures or his pet peeves. Now, I can see myself. You know, I mean, God set this thing up. This Ethiopian, people have been just pouring seeds into his life. Don't know how long. That's a great sermon, if I do say so myself. Back up and listen to it if you haven't yet. And all these seeds were planted, and now he's reading the book of Isaiah, prophecy of Jesus Christ. I mean, God had teed the ball up for Philip. All he had to do was hit the ball, but I could see a lot of us, it'd be real easy, like for me to step up in that chariot and say, hey, let me tell you, I know you're reading Isaiah, but let me tell you about one of the places I've preached so many times, especially back when I was a young preacher. I preached Nehemiah so many times that I can talk to you about Nehemiah, you know, just drop of a hat, because I've preached it so much. Or Judges chapter 6, man, I got into Gideon one time, and I got to calling that chapter Gideon chapter 6 because I was just preaching it so much. And let me share that with you. Or maybe we say, man, there's an awesome story, the book of Esther. You will not believe. If you like stories about karma, you need to read the book of Esther, okay? You know, and it's easy for us to say that, but he was right where God wanted him to be, and he needed to share what God was leading him to. And that's what Philip did. He didn't go off on one of his tangents of this is my favorite scripture, or this is my pet peeve about what you're probably doing as sin and as away from God. This is my pet peeve and those things. He didn't get into that, but he just hit the ball that God had teed up for him. In our grow group on Friday night, the one Dave and I attend, Jeff and Stephanie Rich, they lead it. We're doing a study on a book titled How to Share Jesus Without Fear. It is right in line with this sermon series. And this week's chapter, it was this. I mean, it was this. And it's really cool. If you want to look that up and you want to get a copy of that, ask Jeff. He'll give you that title again. Okay. And here's one of the things. One of the thing that stood out to me in this chapter was this, is that we don't save people. We don't have to really explain the Word of God. We're just page turners. You know, all we do is say, here, read this. Here, look at this. Read this. We're just page turners. We just help people see what Jesus said. And that's what we're supposed to do, just share what Jesus said. All right, now, I'm going to go, oh, wait, I've got, I'm going to go somewhere a little deeper in this, look and remind myself where I'm at. I want to get into something right here, these next couple of slides. And I really think it's just kind of amazing how God has kind of brought this together where it's going to explain what we're talking about, but he's also going to say some hard things to us, okay? So I want to take you there with that. So here's a hard saying. There are not 50 shades of gray, okay? I really expected amens. Now, Brent normally brags on you guys over the first service, but I got a lot more amens the first service on that one, all right? There are not, we'll try this again. There are not 50 shades of gray. We're not talking just about sex, okay? We're talking about all kinds of obedience. There are not 50 shades of gray. The way you treat people, the way you act, the way you live your life, there is right and there is wrong. There's not 50 shades of gray between the two. You know, and as far as following Christ, there is obedience and there is sin. There's not an in-between right there where there's some gray area. I can kind of follow Jesus and almost be in sin. No, it's obedience or sin. You got scripture for that? Absolutely. I try to never bring you something that there's not scripture to back it up. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says that anything that is not of faith is sin. What does that mean? Barnes Notes on the Bible gives a great explanation of what that means. Whatever is not done with a full conviction in your heart that it is right for you to do, it's sinful. Whatever is done when a man doubts whether it is right is sin. So the areas of my life where I say, I think God will look over that one. Or, well, I know that's probably wrong for everybody else, but I can handle it. You know, and listen, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Now, I was raised as a CPA, and one of the things, you know, in helping him, one of the things is you're always trying to help people with their taxes, and man, there's a whole lot of temptation right there about maybe there's some gray area. So listen, I understand how we do and try to find gray areas sometimes, okay? But we've got to remember, Romans 3 and 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And that word for sin there is hamartia. And it's an archery word. And it means missing the mark. All right? So if I were to go to your house and we get in your backyard this afternoon, we get out the bows and arrows and a target, I'm just trying to hit the target, you know. I am not even looking at that little bullseye in the middle. There is no way I'm hitting a bullseye. I just want to hit the target. That's the gray areas, what we call them, but that's not what we're trying to accomplish. If you are trying to be obedient, but you're just trying to get in the general area. You're not being obedient. And the only other option, if it's not obedience, it's sin. If you say, this might be okay, but I'm not fully convinced, then it's sin. This is a hard saying, okay? And I want to take you to another little place. We're going to dive into something right here, okay? We're going to dive into something. And again, this is, I think, just awesome. Actually, let me say this to you. Before I had my injury and, you know, just really messed up, botched my whole sermon calendar, you know, and the way I was planning. This sermon was actually going to be back in February around Valentine's. And so I was already trying to work in some stuff on marriage and things like that. And I just kept it in there. It's not that because, man, it does this. It says some hard things, but it also tells us why and how we mess up when we're not willing to say the hard things and just want to focus on our stuff, the things that are important to us, okay? And so here we're gonna go with that. And this is where Jesus is, he is being tested. They're trying to trick him. They're trying to trip him up. They're asking him a question, and they're hoping he'll say something, you know, against the Old Testament law or Moses or something like that, that they can trick him and they can tell all the people, see, he's not a prophet of God so they're trying to trick him. And he says in Mark chapter 10, here's his answer to this particular question they throw at him. However, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Okay, so let me ask you this question before we get to this. Anybody know Exodus chapter 20? Something really important happens in Exodus chapter 20. Anybody know what happened there? Exodus 20? Thought maybe somebody knows. You're scared to death to answer, aren't you? I'll call you out. The Ten Commandments. Y'all heard of those? Incidentally, let me say, here's another one of those hard truths, okay? There are not 10 suggestions. There are 10 commandments, okay? I said that, all right? But the Ten Commandments are given there. And here's what Jesus, look at what Jesus is doing. You see quotation marks right there? In the first phrase, Jesus is quoting Genesis chapter 1. And then he also quotes Genesis chapter 2. And what he is saying right here, bring that next point up, Philip, for me, thank you, that God's plan, his design for marriage, including sex, preceded even the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai, because that happened Exodus 20, but Jesus is talking about Genesis. So this whole design for marriage happened way beyond that. So this is the answer that he is giving to them, is that, you know, you're focused on the law and Moses and all that. No, this happened way before that. Now, let me give you my understanding of what we're talking about here, okay? Is that, you know, when God created the earth and the universe, it says that, you know, he created the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars, and he set them in the sky to give us the seasons so we would know the seasons, okay? Now, okay, sounds cool, but you know, I really see that now that we look around at it. And you know what? The North Star, it's there. It gives us guidance. I mean, we know how to follow the North Star, don't we? Well, I don't personally, but humankind knows how to follow the North Star, right? And we can watch and the signs. He didn't say how long the seasons would be. He didn't say what order they would be in, but he said, this is what he did. And now, but we can look at it and say, oh, that's the design that he had in mind. This is how he did this. Or when he created plants. The only thing he said about this when he created them is he said they would yield seed after their kind. That's all he said about it. That's all it said in Genesis chapter 1. But you and I, we look at plants out there and we see how they, you know, how they grow and what makes them thrive and what, you know, what kills them and those things. And we see what God was talking about and realize, man, he built this design and it's great. It's awesome. And also in Genesis, what we see is we see the design God had for marriage and sex and all that that's connected with that, okay? We see this design through there. And he didn't say everything that maybe needed to be said that we now figured out is, oh, look at it there. But we see it in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 especially, but also in 3 and 4, okay? And so he shares this with us. And so we look at this now and we say, oh, this is God's design. Now, let me tell you this about design. is I believe this. I believe design is more powerful than law. Jesus came to, he did not do away with, but fulfill the law. The law was to get us to Jesus. But the design, he said, is the same as it was originally. God designed stuff, and then we mess it up, and then he gives us a law. That's what happened in the Old Testament. God designed everything. Adam and Eve, we messed it up, and God had to send the law. And so the law is not as powerful as the design. The design is what is powerful. If you decide to start a landscaping business, and so, you know, and you make these 10 rules, these 10 laws of having a great, you know, lawn or something, and you know what? You could be wrong in one of those. Just because you made a law doesn't mean that it's right. But what you're doing is you're trying to create these that do what? That help the design be everything it's supposed to be. And your laws have to match that design. The design is what is important, not your laws. And it's the same way with marriage. It's the same way with everything. What God designed is God's way. And that's stronger than the laws that he gave us later. The laws just help us with that. It's like your refrigerator at home. You got a manual of how to operate that refrigerator, right? But the design of that refrigerator is more powerful than the manual. The manual just tells you how this thing works. But the thing working and the way it works, that's what's important. This is what Jesus is saying to us. More important than a law or something that you're saying Moses said or whatever is the design that God gave us. Okay, so now I want to wrap up for you what I see in Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4 as a design for marriage. The doctrine of biblical marriage is heterosexual lifelong monogamy, creating a safe nuclear family unit where sex is exclusive and children are created in the dignity of the image of God. All right, now, as you read it, that's a mouthful, right? But that's what I see in Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so there may be some of you right now, you say, well, I don't know about all of that, Pastor. Okay, well, do this for me. We'll hash it out later, but I want you to do this first. I want you to go to Genesis, and I don't want you to focus on anything. I just want you to have your focus on marriage. How is God setting this stuff up? And read Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4, and just see if this isn't the way God said. And if you after reading that you disagree, then hey, we'll talk about it, okay? But this is what I see God has laid out there. Now here's the problem, and this is part of why I'm going here. Part of why I'm going here is to say the hard stuff that needs to be said around Valentine's, even though we're late now. But part of this also is for you to see this, okay? Is this because of how we sometimes just share what's important to us. Because when we look at that, I mean, one of the hot topics now in Christianity is LGBTQ and what we're going to do with that, right? And so it's really easy for us to say, oh, yeah, I see heterosexual up there. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm going to beat them over the head with tomorrow when I see them. That's really easy for us to kind of, you know, pick one of those things out and say, yeah, that's what he's talking about there. No, he's not. You know, I took it out of my notes. I have to take so many things out of my notes every week because I just have too much to share. Believe it or not, you know, these sermons could be a lot longer, you know. But, you know, that we can break a law in dozens of ways. There's a design. And anything outside that design defeats the law of how this is supposed to work. And it's not going to work right unless we stay with the design. So it's not just LGBTQ and that stuff. I got a list for you, all right? And it's not exhaustive. Here, I'm sorry. No, back up. Okay. Yes, there it is. We destroy this plan in many ways. Here's homosexuality. Okay, we know that one. Premarital sex. Do we know what that is? Just in case, let me make sure. I'm going to say it just point blank. When you have sex before marriage, okay? That's premarital sex. Extramarital sex. What's that? It's when somebody, two people are having sex and one of them is married to somebody else. Okay? That's extramarital sex. Then there's divorce and remarriage. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. You really going there today? Yes, I am. Okay? This is not condemnation. I'm going to get to that in just a moment also. All right? That's not what this is about. All of us mess up, right? And there are a lot of people in this room that are divorced and remarried. A lot of people in the world divorce. That's not what this is. This isn't condemnation. But here's the plan. We wonder sometimes why it's not working out. Here's the plan. And listen, I'll tell you that. And I really want to talk teenagers right here, okay? I really want to talk to you teenagers. Those of you who are not yet married, I really want you to hear this, okay? Your best opportunity for a fairy tale, once in a lifetime marriage is your first marriage, okay? That's your best chance. That's your best opportunity. You know, now that's not saying that, you know, if you get married two or three or four times that you finally find the right person because you finally figured out what you're doing wrong, you know, maybe that works. But your best opportunity for a happy ever after life is your first marriage. So don't mess it up. That's what I'm saying to you, because we've all messed up. And it's like some of us have messed up in this, but all of us have messed up in something. What I'm talking about right here is where you are today. You start right here and you go from right here. You build the marriage you're supposed to build where you are today. And listen, I'm praying over my, I think I said it in the first service, I'm praying over my grandkids-in-law, you know. I'm praying over my grandkids' spouses right now. Little Jolie is 2 years old. I'm already praying over her spouse. God knows who that spouse is. And God knows, they're probably already born. And they're on this earth somewhere. And I'm praying over all the stuff. And teens, and those of you who aren't married, I pray you've got parents and grandparents praying over your future spouse. Because your best opportunity is your first marriage. So don't mess it up. Dave, one of the things Dave has taught in the past, and some of you have heard that, is, you know, it's like talking to ladies and young ladies that aren't married yet, is, you know, you want to find that Boaz, right? But you can't find that Boaz as long as you're dating Bozo. Amen? And, you know, you might end up with Bozo, and you might end up with Bozo for the second marriage, and maybe you finally learn your lesson and you go find Boaz, okay? But your best opportunity for that fairy tale happily ever after life is your first marriage, because every time you do that, you're just taking baggage into those consecutive marriages that you have. So that's why teenagers, or all of you who aren't married yet, please hear me. Do it prayerfully. Make sure that you're equally yoked with someone, and go to the nth degree about all the stuff that you believe, because one day you're going to be raising kids with this person. And if they think this is okay, but you don't, y'all are going to have problems over that. Go to the nth degree. Okay, I've said enough about that. All right, and pornography. Yep, pornography is against this. Why? Okay, we've already talked about adultery, which is premarital or extramarital sex. Well, Jesus says in Matthew 5:28, anyone who looks on another person to lust after them has committed adultery. And they've messed that up that way. And also polygamy is there. You cannot be one with five sister wives. You know, you cannot be. And there's an et cetera there, because we can destroy this in so many other ways. And the danger is we get that one little thing, maybe it's the LGBTQ thing or whatever. We get that one, and that's what we want to beat everybody else up with, but maybe we're, you know, viewing pornography, you know, when nobody else is looking. Or maybe it's not this law or design that we're destroy. Maybe it's something else in our life that we're doing. You know, and because of that, you know, it's easy for us to sometimes say, well, you know, I'm just not worthy to share Jesus with anybody because I've just messed up so many times and so many things. Next slide for me, Philip. God's purpose for us, our purpose is not condemnation. Can I get an amen? But helping others discover and live God's amazing dream for their lives. If our purpose was condemnation, then yeah, none of us would be worthy to share. Because I can't condemn you because, man, I did that stuff too. Or maybe different stuff, but everyone, Romans 3:23, all have sinned. All have missed the mark. So yeah, if the goal was condemnation, yeah, you're not worthy. You can't do it. But the goal is not condemnation. Our purpose is to come alongside somebody and say, I've been where you are. I've been where you are, but by the blood, by the grace, by the mercy, by the love, and by the power of Jesus Christ, I'm no longer there. Can I tell you how he did it for me? And I believe he can do it for you. That's our purpose. And so all of us broken and messed up, you know, bozos that we are, we can share that. It's not because we've been perfect, but it's because we found someone who is and who made all the past perfect for this moment. And now I can go forward. Man, I got tears in my eyes for this, knowing what some of you are dealing with. God wants to do that through us. Okay, so this also connects. This connects with my very last point. It's a short one, okay? It's a short one. That we have to be careful about this, because if we're not careful, if we're trying, if we're condemning others, or if we're trying to tell people about Jesus, but we're not living as a follower of Jesus. Okay, that's this third point right here. Our example must match the word that we share. If you are telling people one thing and living another way, they don't want to hear what you're saying. There's a great story from the Civil War days. A chaplain in the Civil War was out on a field of where a battle has just ended, just to see who he can give some comfort to. He comes upon a young soldier, and he says, "Would you care to hear some verses from the Bible?" And the young soldier says, No, what I'd really like is something to drink. I'm just so thirsty." So the chaplain gave him some water to drink, and he repeated the question, "Now, would you like to hear some verses from the Bible?" And he said, No, I'm really uncomfortable. Could you find something to put under my head?" And so the chaplain finds something soft and wraps it up and elevates the young man's head and gets it off the hard ground and repeats the question, "Would you now like to hear some verses from the Bible?" And again, he says, No, I'm just so cold. Could you find something to cover me up with?" And the chaplain takes off his own coat, lays it across the young soldier, tucks it in real nice. And this time he decides, "Well, I'll just go on, see if I can find someone else who needs comfort, as this young man doesn't want to hear the scripture." And as he turns to leave, the young soldier calls him back and he says, "Chaplain, if there's something in that book of yours that makes people do for others what you've done for me, I want to hear it." You know why? Because a consistent Christian example and testimony always opens the door for the Word of God. And an inconsistent testimony, I'll say this, will shut the door closed fast. That's why you and I have to be so careful, because that story about that Civil War chaplain, that's your story. Do you know every single day that you live, you walk the battlefields of this earth? When you go to school tomorrow, you are going to walk the battlefield of this earth. When you go back to work tomorrow, you're walking the battlefields of this earth. Broken, injured people are laying all out in front of you. You're walking through the battlefield of this earth. And the sad part of it is, come on, is that we walk through it and never see the injuries. And we just keep walking. God help us. Can somebody help me here? God help us to see the injured, to see the broken, because they're there. And we got to open our eyes and we got to be looking around and we got to be asking God, show us the injured. I mean, if we're going to pray Luke 10 and 2, God, let me be one. I mean, I'm out there in the field already. I'm out there, God. Make sure I see the injuries and the ones that are hurting and the ones that are struggling, and I stop long enough to offer them some comfort too. You're there. You're there. So today, and listen, I've been calling these baby steps because these are baby steps. I mean, anybody that's really into evangelism, listen to these sermons, they're saying, "Pastor, you're not pushing your people hard enough," because these are baby steps. But I know I needed to give you time to take some baby steps. I want to review the baby steps, okay? Because today I'm going to push you just a little bit harder than you've been pushed. And so if you've been taking the baby steps, though, this won't seem like a big step. But if you hadn't been taking them, this is going to sound like a big leap, okay? If you just showed up today and you're hearing this first time, this is going to sound like a big leap. Here they are. Here are the baby steps we've taken. First week was make an invitation. Invite somebody to teens this week, kids, because, I mean, we got a movie tonight, something exciting, you know, and they'll have some fellowship with Christians. Go a little farther. What does that mean? I don't know. You're going to be out there on the battlefield. You'll have to find out. Maybe it's give them a drink of water or coffee or something to make their situation a little better. Go a little farther. Promise to pray for someone. And remember, I didn't say pray for something, because some of you say, I can't pray in public. I didn't ask you to pray. Baby step. I ask you to just say, I'll pray with you about that. But don't lie about it. Make sure you do later, okay? And share your story briefly. If you missed that sermon, you need to go back and hear that one. Pray daily at 10:02. God send laborers. This is going to be powerful for us if we keep this up. Let's pray together every day this week. And here's today. This is the week's baby step. Share or explain a scripture to somebody this week. Now, if you're going to do that, you need two things. One, you need scripture in your heart, in your mind. You can't share what you don't know, so you got to have some, right? And if you don't have any, you say, well, I don't have anything to share. But that's not an excuse. Brent got on to us about that last week, too. You know, whatever's in your way, fix that and get it out of the way. What if you don't know scripture? Fix that. And I got good news for you. We gave you another baby step. The leaders of this church, the staff and the ministry team leaders, put together a list of their favorite scriptures to share with others. There's the list. But if you'll go to the sermon notes, it's actually the text of the list, too, of all these scriptures. You can print them out. You can highlight them. You can copy them and put them over somewhere on your phone. So there they are. And you can focus on two or three that you'll always have in your back pocket. So you got to do that. You've got to have some scriptures to share. But the other thing is, you got to have opportunity. And that's what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, God has never given me the opportunity to share a scripture. Why is it going to happen this week? Because you're going to ask him to, and you're going to be ready for it, and you're going to see all those opportunities that he tried to give you year after year, day after day, week after week, that you missed because you forgot you were on a battlefield. But this week, I believe every one of you, if you make it your heart, this week God is going to give you an opportunity to share scripture with somebody. It's going to happen. Here's all you need to do right now. Is say, God, if you give me opportunity, I will share a scripture with somebody this week.
Thanks for listening to the Church 2911 Sermons Podcast. If you have a need, we would love to pray with you. You can connect with our prayer team by emailing prayer@church2911.com or by texting 205-476-2911. You can learn more about our church by visiting us online at church2911.com and by connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram at church2911. We hope this message has encouraged you and reminded you that God loves you and has an amazing dream for your life. As always, we dare you to dream.